This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Helen Farmer, great to have you with us on today's show. We're talking about the sweet, sweet art of doing absolutely nothing. The Dutch word niksen. We were speaking to the author of a book delving into exactly that. But how do you do it and what are the benefits? Also, under the spotlight with consultant neurologist Dr. Roddy, we were looking at stiff person syndrome. It's what Celine Dion has. How rare is it? What causes it? And you also had some advice about migraines too. House and House on Hand, fantastic Ben Walsh, rounding up what you need to know about buying versus rent. Renting right now, where is it possible to still get a bargain? And also talking about a couple of areas you might not be that familiar with, Port de la Mer and Emaar Beachfront. And over the Eid break, it was Kareem from Kids App offering up some great deals. And of course, it's never too early to book those summer camps too. So which are his favourite? I love the idea of doing nothing. I'm just not very good at it. I was raised by a mum who, and dad, who believed that really TV is not to be watched during daylight hours. I watched a movie over the weekend in the afternoon and felt so guilty. I love a productive weekend. It just doesn't sit well with me. However, I'm probably amongst the growing group of people who are heading towards burnout. So we're bringing in the expert now as we explore Niksen, Embracing the Dutch Art of Doing Nothing. She is the author of that book. Olga Mekking is a writer, a journalist, a translator. She's based in the Netherlands, born in Poland, grew up in Germany, but has been in the Netherlands for the last 14 years. She's a regular contributor to the likes of the New York Times, The Guardian, BBC, The Atlantic and other publications. Olga, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you so much. Now, really happy to be here.
I'm really happy that you're here as well. Now, you wrote the book about Niksen back in 2019, 2020, and I think actually quite a timely release during the pandemic when there was a lot of stress going on. But there has been a bit of an uptick in interest in it as a concept recently. Before we think about why that might be, would you mind explaining the origins of Niksen and how it has maybe been traditionally practiced?
So you mean the origins of the concept itself? So it's Niksen is the Dutch word that means doing nothing or to do nothing. It's a verb that just means doing nothing. And it's, and you know, how in English you can make verbs out of everything, and in Dutch it's similar. They even do it more in the way that, for example, they don't say, I play football or soccer. They say, I soccer or I football.
I've seen this in other ways, like WhatsApp and internetten. So this is,
yeah.
So Niksen is doing nothing. Yeah, it's the act of doing nothing. Do we know how long it's been around for, even where it came from, Olga?
Not really. It's just been in the Dutch language for, I guess, forever. It's just that as a concept, as a philosophy, I think that has been quite a new thing because it's, you know, people would say things like, oh, I'm doing nothing, or sometimes the Dutch say lekker niksen, which means deliciously doing nothing, and so sometimes they would say Niksen is good. They would say like doing nothing is good for nothing. So they're talking about it. They recognize the word, but I think as a concept, that kind of, I think I at first I saw it in 2018-19 in a Dutch language magazine where it was explained how Niksen is the new mindfulness, and I think that started the whole thing.
So can you, in your words, how do you define it? Because my idea of doing nothing is probably, if I'm honest, kind of watching something on TV, maybe scrolling on my phone at the same time, or, you know, reading a book, that kind of thing. This is really doing nothing. What does Niksen look like in an ideal world?
Ideally, you know, I have a definition in my book, but it's quite strict. So the definition I've got is, it says it's doing nothing. So not the things you just mentioned, but, and then doing it not for a purpose or in with a goal in mind, because I think if we look around, we do so much, not because it feels good or because we feel like it. We do it because, you know, we go for walks because we want our 10,000 steps a day. In we eat certain things because of, you know, protein or calories. It's very quantified. Mm-hmm. Right? It's very, whatever we do has to have some sort of measurable goal. And that's why I added the second part of the definition, or maybe where it's not without, you know, without a goal or purpose, and just do things before because they feel good.
So this could be going for a walk, but not thinking about those 10,000 steps, or sitting looking out of a window for a while. That is, am I getting it?
Yeah, that's precisely
it's literally a foreign concept to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, in the strictest definition, yes, that's precisely it. You can call it daydreaming, or you can call it people watching, or you can call it, you know, looking out of the window, or you can call it going to a beach and, you know, lying on the sand on your towel and yeah, that's precisely it.
That sounds amazing. Now, interestingly, we've seen a real kind of pickup in interest in this. And, you know, earlier this year, actually, David Lloyd Clubs in the UK have talked about launching Nixon-inspired class, showing that 60% of Brits can't remember the last time they switched off, and 22% wouldn't know how. Why do you think we have had this kind of surge of interest in Nixon over the last kind of year or so? What does it say about where our heads are at collectively, Olga?
Yeah, it's been so interesting to watch how it kind of, you know, as it was a bit like a wave, it comes and goes. Because when I wrote my article in the New York Times that went viral and got me the book deal for Nixon, the atmosphere, the climate was everyone was overworked, overwhelmed, close to burnout. And the book itself in the Netherlands, it came out during the pandemic, so a week after the country closed down. And then it kind of, the interest kind of waned a bit, and now it's back. And I think what's happening is that we may be getting back to the same point where we were before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So we were hoping for kind of, you know, the pandemic would be like a break for us, or a way to rethink the way we work and live and how sustainable that is. And now we want to go back to normal as soon as possible.
Olga, we've had a question, more a comment really, from a Dutchie saying, I love the idea of Nixon, but as a Dutchie, I'm absolutely rubbish at it. I've tried it, but it actually made me anxious. That's interesting. Do you hear that a lot? I can see you nodding on Teams, this kind of objection of this doesn't feel natural. And now I've got too many thoughts, perhaps, coming in. What are some of the confusions, misconceptions, or obstacles that you've heard from people?
Yeah, so absolutely, I do recognize that, and I hear that a lot. You know, I'm bad at this, I'm bad at that, and absolutely can feel anxiety-inducing if you're not used to it, and also because of the feelings of guilt that so many people have if they're not feeling productive. Mm-hmm. So. So many people feel like they should be doing more, or at least not working, then maybe doing, you know, cleaning up the house or doing the dishes, something, at least something. Yeah, absolutely. I hear that a lot. And I think our brains are quite natural at, you know, jumping from one thought to another. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily bad. I think a big misconception is about Nixon that I hear is that maybe some people think it's like meditation, in which you have, you know, you need a special room with special music, or you need to clear up your mind. And sometimes you don't need, you know, half an hour to do nothing. It can be minutes. It can be moments, you know. So I think people are very hard on themselves. Like if they're trying a new wellness trend, and they feel maybe they're not as good as they want to be, in reality, they may be better at it than they think.
I would love to try it. I really would. What does the science say, Olga? Has there been any research or evidence that supports the benefits of Nixon? Are there any findings we could share?
Yeah, so there's nothing about doing nothing, but there's a lot about the benefits of laziness and the benefits of being bored, for example, and it makes you more creative. And we know that the best ideas don't come to us when we're, you know, focused on solving a problem. The best ideas come to us in moments like, you know, the shower or the bathtub, or when we are for a walk in the forest. It's always when we are focused and not even think about the problem at all. And it's finally we wake up, it's like, I've got this.
That's right. How do you personally practice it in your own life, Olga? Would you mind kind of giving us some examples, you know, of moments, experiences you have on a daily basis, or, you know, moments you thought, oh, I'm doing it? I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm actually, funnily enough, I think I'm quite, I'm not very bad at it, but I'm natural at daydreaming. Like it's, I get into the state where I start thinking about something, and that's how my best ideas for my articles come from. But mostly it's, for example, I'm reading a book and there's a very nice, I come to a nice sentence and something the character says or a description I really like, and then or a plot twist that I haven't expected. And then I have to go and think about it for a while because, I can't go reading because I have to think about it.
That's really interesting because we're so fast paced. We're so stressed. It's always like, what's next? What's next? It's actually rare that, as you say there in the moment of, reflecting on something we read or a sight we might have seen on a walk and just pausing, just taking that breath to process this a little bit, to give our brain a break. Because, and maybe with the same with our children too, it's funny you just said there about, some of the best ideas and creativity comes from being bored, and we're so quick to distract ourselves right now. We're so quick to kind of keep our children busy. You know, as a parent, is that something that you're kind of conscious of as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just that we keep our kids busy. It's just, it's also technology that makes it super easy to be, distracted, because here's an email and there's a Facebook notification and, a new post on Instagram and, it's always something. And of course, our brains love that and we react to that, and it's very hard to stop.
Why do you think it's been, the book came out and it's been translated into 13 languages. Where has it resonated? And what do we think that might point to culturally in terms of people or places that either need it or like the validation of knowing about Nixon and the fact it's something that they might already do?
So I hear in France, it's sold quite well. And this is another culture where people, they work hard, but they also take breaks they enjoy food and they enjoy having time off. And they actually, if for example, the government in France decided to raise retirement age, people would, go out on the streets and demonstrate, would protest about that. In the US, the concept resonated very, very strongly. And in the UK as well, as you mentioned, the David Lloyd clubs that he started offering Nixon classes, which I found very interesting.
I would love that if that came here, because I feel like a bit of guidance would be much appreciated. I'm actually going to be spending a lot of the summer in the Netherlands, so I'm hoping to pick up a little bit more. I'm going to come back to Dubai a bit more Nixon. That's the plan. That's the plan. We're planning on not doing a lot at all. There's a couple of theme parks involved, but mostly it's going to be staying on a farm, seeing some friends, and hopefully reading your book as Olga. So I'm hoping to have it keep me company and inspire a bit of brain rewiring. That's the plan, because, the phone's within arm reach, the work doesn't stop. And I think, you've got the sun streaming through your window. I'm hoping you're going to be going to read a lovely book and having a bit of a pause. For anyone that wants more information on the book, it's available globally, as we said. You can send me the word book. I'll send you a link. Olga, are there any resources, any podcasts that you recommend, any kind of further reading, or anyone that's a bit inspirational on the Nixon front that you could perhaps point us in the direction of?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about it. So I had Gretchen Rubin on. I interviewed her for my books. She's really great.
She's awesome. I really enjoy. Okay, brilliant. Gretchen Rubin. She's absolutely fantastic. I've read quite a lot of her things around the senses and the Happiness Project as well. So, thank you, Olga. Wishing you a lovely afternoon ahead. Really appreciate your insights on this. I think we can all try be a little bit more Nixon in the future. It just might take a bit of practice. Olga Beckling speaking to us from the Netherlands. She is the author of Nixon: Embracing the Dutch Art of Doing Nothing. Today we're joined by Dr. Roddy El-Noah, a renowned consultant neurologist from Ream Hospital, and we're discussing stiff person syndrome, SPS. Now, recently it's gained attention due to singer Celine Dion's diagnosis. So we're going to be delving into the nature of it, its impact, current treatments, and more. Dr. Roddy, how are you?
Good afternoon, Hélène, and good afternoon to all your audience.
Thank you for being with us, especially over Eid. I do appreciate your time. Would you mind, before we get into SPS, what comes under your remit as a consultant urologist? What's keeping you busy and what kind of trends or patterns are you noticing about things that are coming into clinic?
Thanks for your question. So in general, as neurologist, I'm treating most of the time. The most common symptoms are headache, vertigo, muscle pain, sometimes abnormal movements, certain autoimmune disease concerning the nervous system, and for sure, peripheral nerves and numbness, paresthesia. So for sure, we're not seeing everyday stiff person syndrome. Mm-hmm. This is for sure.
Yeah, but it sounds, I mean, it doesn't, don't think it's as much fun as it sounds. But that consultant neurologist, I mean, that covers a huge remit of things, as you explained there. That must be obviously fascinating from a doctor in training point of view. Can I just come back to headaches, just because I've had a number of people talk to me about suffering from migraines recently. Is that something that you work with? Migraines in particular?
Yeah. In general, when we speak about headache, it's one of the most common symptoms of patients coming to our neurological clinic. So in general, headache is different type. Sometimes, most of the time, it's tension headache or migraine. But we should be always careful that it can be secondary to other causes, such as like tumor or hemorrhage or other like diseases that can induce a headache. So this is one of the most common symptoms of patients in our clinic.
Well, let's get on to the topic of the day. As we said, some really upsetting footage of Celine Dion talking about what she's going through health-wise. Can you explain for us in perhaps non-consultant neurologist terms, so everyone can understand, Dr. Ruddy, what stiff person syndrome is? You know, how does it affect the body?
Yes, in general, if we go a little bit like by simple explanation, stiff person syndrome is a rare autoimmune neurological disorders. Rare because it affects like 1 over 1 million person.
Wow, that's incredibly rare. So 1 in 1 million people.
And in general, I believe that it's even more than 1 over 1 million. But unfortunately, not everybody is diagnosed for stiff person syndrome, because most of the time, like, they consider it as simple cramps or maybe like muscle stiffness or muscle pain. But in general, it's a rare disease. And when we speak about autoimmune disorder, it means it's due to immunity. It's an autoimmunity disease. Neurological, it means it affects the neurological system in the body. And usually this syndrome was before called stiff man syndrome, despite the ratio male to female is 1-2. It means it's more frequent in female than male.
So it's now stiff person syndrome. So would you mind explaining some of the symptoms and I guess how it can manifest in the body? We've heard Celine Dion talking about it and the way it's impaired her career and daily life. But physiologically speaking, what's happening?
Yes. So usually if I start by the symptoms of stiff person syndrome, it's most commonly cause muscle stiffness and painful spasms that come and go and can worsen over time. Some patients coming with stiff person syndrome can experience sometimes unsteady gait, sometimes double vision. Even the speech can be affected in stiff person syndrome. There is for sure degree. Not every patient like presenting stiff person syndrome is presenting the same symptoms as the other patient. But in general, stiffness is very common, as the name is stiff person syndrome.
So can I ask then, you mentioned before, you know, the possibility for misdiagnosis. So it sometimes can be confused with muscle cramps and spasms, but, you know, are there any other things that people can be misdiagnosed with? I'm thinking, you know, things like Parkinson's or other kind of chronic illnesses.
Yes, sure. Usually it's one of the differential, by the way, differential diagnosis for Parkinson's disease. So sometimes patients even think it's Parkinson's disease, but in fact, it's like stiff person syndrome. Why? Because it's considered finally an abnormal movement disease. It means when we speak about muscle stiffness, gait instability, it can be present even in other diseases such as Parkinson or like ataxic disorders. So usually the diagnosis is very important because for sure we're going to speak later about the treatment of stiff person syndrome that is completely different than, for example, the treatment of Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, what do we know, Dr. Roddy, about the known causes, risk factors? You mentioned there that, you know, much more, you know, more prevalent in women, but are there anything, you know, that might predispose someone to developing it?
Yes, usually when we see a patient and we diagnose the patient by stiff person syndrome, we should always look about if there is an underlying like tumor disease, especially in female patient and breast cancer. For sure, I don't want to worry every woman or from our audience that they will develop stiff person. But usually in big studies, when disease is associated with tumor, most of the time it's one of like paraneoplastic syndrome or signs for breast cancer. Finally, when we speak about immune disease, it's always more frequent in female than male. Mm-hmm. And in stiff person syndrome, the immune system seems to attack one protein called GAD. In general, we name it like GAD. It's finally, it's glutamic acid decarboxylase protein that usually it helps make a substance called GABA. And as we know in research that GABA is one of the inhibitory molecules in the nervous system. That's why when the GABA is like affected by the stiff person syndrome, in general, the patient will develop like a non-inhibition of the muscle. It means the muscles will become stiff. It will become overreacted and it's not relaxed easily as a normal person.
1 in 1 million people get stiff person syndrome and really rare autoimmune neurological disorder. Is there a cure for it, Dr. Roddy?
Yes, let's for the treatment of stiff person syndrome, it's always tricky because most of the people with stiff person syndrome improve with medications, but it can still be difficult to manage triggers that cause muscle spasm. And by research, there is no cure for stiff person syndrome, but we can at least like improving the symptoms by different medication. For example, when we speak about stiffness, for sure there is medication that is reducing the stiffness, but those medications are symptomatic treatment. It means we're not curing the disease by itself. But in general, when we speak about stiff person syndrome nowadays, usually the prognosis or from symptoms onset to death, it can range from 6 till 28 years. It means the patient can live more than 20, 25 years in like managing the symptoms by medication, mm-hmm. which is, I believe it's good for autoimmune disease, but the patient should be well diagnosed and well treated.
Now, I know we've been talking about SPS today, but I think it'd be quite unexpected if someone listening today has that. More likely that people listening today have migraine problems. So I've had a couple of questions for you, Dr. Roddy. One here saying, I'm sick of just being given pain relief for migraines. How do you actually understand what is causing them? Great question, Greg. What comes to mind when you have someone come into clinic who just says, you know, there's headaches and then there's migraines and I'm getting the migraines and it's you know, debilitating. How do you understand what the root cause is and then treat accordingly with migraines?
Thanks for the question, because it's one of maybe very interesting questions. And we're facing those questions like every day, because headache are like one of the most common symptoms in our clinic. So usually when a patient is coming for headache or complaining of headache, we should ask exactly the story of the pain. It means, for example, when we speak about migraine, it's true that it's a unilateral headache. It means it's one side of the brain. But for sure that some patients has diffuse pain, and this other symptoms can help us identifying the cause of headache. It means when a patient, let's give an example, a patient coming for throbbing headache, mm-hmm. complaining of hypersensitivity to the light, to the sound, sometimes nausea, the like duration of symptoms are more than 3-4 hours, sometimes lasting days, we should expect in those cases migraine. For example, another patient coming, let's say, with a sudden atypical headache, a patient that never complained of headache and coming, for example, for his first time of very severe, like thunderclap headache, in those cases, we should expect something secondary cause. such as like hemorrhage, tumor, stroke. So it's very important to ask the patient about the symptoms. Mm-hmm. And then the number two is to examining the patient to identify any abnormalities during the physical exam. And when we are facing an atypical headache, usually we can go for other investigations such as radiological tests, laboratory test, or other like neurophysiological test. So each patient is different than the other, and each disease causing headache is different than the other diseases.
And they're just so horrendous. I suffered with migraines in my kind of 20s. And I remember my boss saying to me, and I had a migraine at work and I was being sick. And he's like, oh, H, just go home and watch some TV for the afternoon. I was like, watch TV? I could take up, but didn't feel safe to drive. I'd go home and I'd be literally burying my head in between the sofa cushions to try and get some respite from noise and light. They are horrendous. And this is a very drastic solution, but I found since having kids, I don't get as many as migraines. So I do think mine were, hormonal. And a message here saying I suffered with migraines for years, was put on many medications. Only when I was seeing my general practitioner that a routine blood pressure reading was done. I had undiagnosed high blood pressure, been on meds for that for 10 years and haven't had a migraine or migraine meds since. My heart doctor says that high blood pressure patients often go and see someone with the migraines first. So check your blood pressure regularly. This is why a good holistic 360 approach, absolutely crucial. Dr. Roddy, thank you so much for your time today. Really, really interesting to catch up. I'd love to have you back. And I'm sure we'll talk about headaches next time you're on, because, as I said, messages we weren't able to get to today. But in the meantime, thank you for your time, and Eden Barrack to you and yours and everyone at the clinic.
This content is for informational purposes only and does not intend to substitute professional medical advice, diagnosis or treatment.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With House and House, 10 years of unlocking opportunities in Dubai real estate.
Ben Walsh is in the studio from House and House. He's a senior consultant looking after Dubai Marina, JBR, Dubai Harbour, Blue Waters, Emaal Beachfront and Port La Mer.
Thank you for having me.
You must be grateful for a little sit down, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Eden Mubarak to you.
Eden Mubarak.
I do appreciate your time. I really, really do. Before we get into talking about, keep renting or take the plunge on buying a property in the current market, can we talk about some of the areas that you look after? I mean, because a lot of them are kind of this end of town, kind of marina end of town. And then we've got Port La Mer in the mix as well. Now, I went there yesterday, for the second time in about a month. I went to a restaurant called Fanculio, which is a really, really cool new Italian, feels a bit kind of like Goodfellas, theatre, like neighbourhood Italian, amazing fresh pasta. It was brilliant.
But I've not been there. I should check it out.
You should check it out next time you're down there. It was good. Really good. But when we went in the dark, I was like, oh, this is, we're still driving. Oh, this is actually a lot bigger than I realised. And then yesterday when we were driving in the daylight, it was really interesting to see Port La Mer and how it fits into the city. You know, you're right opposite where the giant flagpole is, then you're at sea and seeing the different kind of properties that are on offer there. For anyone that's not familiar with it, how do you explain Port La Mer, who it's for, what's on offer right now, Ben?
So it's the first master community in Jumeirah. So it's the kind of the first opportunity that expatriates can actually buy, because normally it's only GCC nationals that can buy in Jumeirah. So it's a master community by Maras, who are very well known. They've done Blue Waters, for example, as well. So they've got mixtures of apartment buildings there, one bed, two bed, three, four bedroom apartments. They've got townhouses as well called Sur La Mer. I don't know if you notice those as you're going in.
As you're going in.
On the kind of trunk of it.
Yeah, it's interesting because as we were driving in, and listen, I do what we all do. I'm like looking to see what cars are in the garage just to try and figure out how expensive these properties are. I'm like, nice cars. And the townhouses look like they actually go towards the water quite far. They look really generous, actually.
Yeah, they're good sizes. And they're in really high demand. So the people that bought these, the original owners, so to speak, that bought these off plan are making real money at the moment because prices are really shot up. There's huge demand for them.
And then you see, so Fanculio is a restaurant that's from Chef Akmal, who's done Three Fills and Woodfire, like Woodfire and Goldfish. And I think when you start to get the kind of the vote of confidence of like the chefs and the shops and that kind of thing, that's when things start to build. So is it pretty occupied right now?
Yeah, no, I mean it's in a developing process. I'd say wouldn't say it's occupied that much at the moment. It's a bit of a ghost town. So they don't have that much retail space open at the moment. I think over the next few years, there will be a real hub of life as well.
I think it's got such potential there. And I love the way the marina's right there as well. It made me think of like maybe like Croatia a little bit, you know, where the boats will be coming in. And
it's got the holiday sort of vibe
totally
about it, with
does.
Multicoloured, different coloured buildings and
shutters,
everything like that.
And yeah, the quality looked fantastic. So I think it'd be really interesting just to go there for a bit of a wander in the cooler months and, you know, the kids on the scooters and have some lunch outside. I think it's going to be great. So that's Port de la Mer. And obviously you're doing sales there as well. The other one I want to ask you about is another area I'm not that familiar with, which is Emar Beachfront, which isn't far from here in Media City. Obviously Emar. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the location and the offering there as well, Ben?
Yeah, so the full area is called Dubai Harbour, not to be confused with Dubai Creek Harbour, which often people is both by Emar, so easy to get them confused. But it's located, you get access to it via the marina, and it's right next to the Palm. So they've got kind of two lines where they have properties on either side. So you have views of the Dubai Marina, which looks amazing, all lit up at night, mm-hmm. and the boats coming in. And on the other side, you have views of the Palm Jumeirah, the sunset, and
Bit of people watching, get your binoculars out. and in terms of the properties on offer at Emar Beachfront, is that mostly apartments then?
Yeah, it's mainly apartments. Yeah, they do have kind of like some podium kind of villas that are, say, use the term villa, but it's not like a traditional villa detached. Yeah. It's connected to the building. So they have 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom apartments there as well. So it's very popular for Airbnb there at the moment, because you do have 1.5 kilometers of direct private beach access for the residents, which is really popular. All the buildings have really good facilities, like huge infinity pools with views of the Palm and the marina. So again, it's quite a holiday vibe sort of place.
So out of the areas you're looking after, so Dubai Marina, JBR, Dubai Harbour, Blue Waters, Emar Beachfront and Port de la Mer, you've got an interesting spread there, because you've got obviously the likes of JBR and Dubai Marina, which are really well established.
Yeah.
You know, really probably not that much space for extra building. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whereas Port de la Mer kind of still up and coming, Emar Beachfront still kind of getting known. Where can you still bag a bargain, Ben? If you're looking at buying, saying, a one bed investment, you know, opportunity now, where would you say that you've got that growth?
To be honest, in terms of like Port de la Mer and Beachfront, the prices have gone up a lot there. Mm-hmm. Again, those that were fortunate enough to buy off plan, they're making real money on it. So in terms of a bargain, so to speak, I'd probably say...
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd probably say the marina, because there's, for example, Emar Beachfront and Port de la Mer, all brand new buildings, really nice quality. And there's a lot of hype around these projects at the moment, so the prices are quite high. So in terms of the marina, obviously it's a big combination of older buildings, so you might be better off buying something that's older, renovating it, and then you can rent it out or flip it for a profit.
So it's a bit of a leading question really, but what is the market like right now when it comes to keep renting versus buying? Because a lot of people are taking the plunge and it feels like stock is low. But what does that mean ultimately? What's the questions people should be asking themselves before taking the plunge?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think there's a bit, when it comes to the buy and rent, and there's always a bit of a commitment phobe. Like, obviously, they don't give out passports, so people always kind of, how long are we going to be here for, mm-hmm. etc. And the number of viewings I will do that I'll walk into the property and the tenant's been in there for 8 or 9 years. He's thinking, have you not thought about buying? And
listen, stop it. I was in my old place for 7 years.
Yeah, well, you've paid off someone else's mortgage there.
Well, I know, but it was in Jumeirah, so I couldn't buy.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
No, that was the problem. So I do think that's actually a good question to start with, really, is where do you want to live?
Yeah.
Because in some parts of Dubai, you can't buy that home. Mm-hmm. But you could potentially buy an investment property somewhere else and, you know, get a bit of a foot on the ladder in that respect.
Yeah, definitely.
So what is stock like right now? Because I'm hearing kind of mixed things that, you know, would love to buy, but there's actually not a lot of choice right now.
Yeah, so I mean, in terms of, I think in terms of definitely the villa communities, they're just getting inundated with buyers and responses. I mainly do apartments. So we do have, obviously, the preference, you know, certain people prefer certain buildings and so on. And the popular buildings there is a really high demand and a low amount of supply. So, you know, there might be a few units available, but they're rented. And then you have to go through that whole process of serving them with notice to vacate. It's 12 months and it's a bit of a long old time. So,
So for investment properties, then, what do you think is performing well if we're looking at apartments in particular, you know, one bed, two bed, three bed? Mm-hmm. If someone's listening today going, you know, I can't necessarily afford to buy a villa for me and the family, but I would like to have a bit of a foot on the ladder. What do you think could perform in terms of return on investment?
In terms of the, I think it comes down to the area. Like, you think of the demand for, you know, investments, you think of the main areas in Dubai, like downtown, the Palm, Marina. Personally, I'd always advise buying in the marina as an investment. The reason being the prices there are substantially lower than that of the Palm and downtown. And the demand is still very much high. Obviously, you've got the Marina Walk, you've got the mall, you've got JBR Beach, everything's in there. Mm-hmm. And I think the prices will continue appreciating because there's no more plots that can be built on. They're just getting full now. So in terms of the return that you can be looking at there, I'd say typically in the marina, something around a 5% net ROI and above would be considered good.
Which brings us to, you were talking before about those clever so-and-sos that bought early off plan for Port de la Mer and now are like, ha, 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 smug, smug, smug. The decision to buy off plan, you know, versus secondary market is such a personal one. A lot of it depends on, can you afford to have a non-generating, you know, property right now?
Yeah.
If you are looking to buy off plan, are there any areas you think are worth your attention right now?
In terms of the areas, you know, I think Dubai Creek, there's a huge potential there at the moment. EMAR just keep on launching and launching at the moment. Again, it's a ghost town.
You've just made my day.
Yeah, you just bought that, have you?
Okay.
You made the right decision.
Oh, I promise that wasn't set up. Okay, that's really interesting to hear.
Yeah, so I think that's an area of huge potential. And obviously, you know yourself, it's a ghost town there at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I think over the next few years, as we start handing over more and more buildings, EMAR, really reputable, trusted developer. So, you know, it's a safe investment for sure.
And then what about if you're a property owner, you've bought your investment, let's use the marina as an example, because mm-hmm. that's your stomping ground. What do you need to be thinking about pros and cons versus short-term rentals? You know, your Airbnbs, or you're working with companies who put their employees in for a month or 3 months when they first arrive, versus long-term leasing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think the main thing for me would be the flexibility that you get with short-term compared to long-term. Like we all know, as soon as an Ajari is registered and a long-term tenant goes in, they have the right to stay there prior to a 12-month notice, mm-hmm. Which you can only serve if you're looking to sell, move in yourself, or do structural change. So if you're kind of umming and ahhing about selling, but you're not quite decided yet, and you want some passive income to come in, then definitely I'd recommend doing short-term. Not to mention the fact as well, if you have friends or family that can come to Dubai, they can also use the property
as
well.
Block some dates off.
Exactly, yeah.
Ben, with your permission, if anyone wants to get in touch with you about any of the areas we've been talking about today, if they want to send me the house emoji, for example, can I share your details?
Yeah, please do. That would be appreciative of that.
Thank you for coming in.
No problem
at all. Eid weekend. Really appreciate
My
it.
My pleasure.
You got a busy rest of the week planned? You out and about with more viewings?
Yeah, well, I think kind of going back to life on Wednesday after Eid, so there's clients and everything that want appointments and viewings and everything like that. So it's a pretty hectic time right now. Yeah.
As my dad always says, busy is a blessing.
Exactly. The days go by a lot faster when you're busy.
They absolutely do. Ben Walsh is a senior consultant at House & House. Ben, thank you so much. We'll speak to you soon. It's a 4-day break for the kids off school. And have you had that dreaded, I'm bored yet? We have. We've also been frisbeeing the iPad at them. I'm obviously at work this afternoon. My husband's with the kids doing a play date, which I learnt recently is a karaoke play date. So good luck, Mr. Farmer. But what about getting out and about? Kareem from Kids App is with us to round up where to go, what to do, and of course help out with some summer camps. Time is a ticking, guys, so they do fill up fast. Kareem, how are you? Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak, Helen. It's been a while.
It's been too long. It's been too long, and you guys always full of busy. How's your break going so far?
It's great, and I'm not sure why every time I talk to you guys, I'm in a different country.
Oh,
it sounds like I'm some kind of jet setter.
Where are you?
So I'm in Sydney at the moment,
wow. And
we've got the whole family. The kids are with me.
Oh.
We're in a small hotel apartment. So if you hear any kids rolling over and things smashing in the background, just please forgive me.
It's a safe space, and it's well on brand with Kids App. So don't worry, Kareem. I am all here for it. Now, I feel like a lot of places have opened recently. So, but there's also some old favourites as well. So we're going to round up some things that are happening for the Eid break, you know, today and tomorrow, still to enjoy some deals as well. Now, I didn't say I was going to ask you this, but here we are. My kids are 7 and 9, and I've just started to realise that the 9-year-old, the old favourites are not hitting the way they used to. How old are your kids?
They're actually 14 and 12.
Yeah, so
and
I need your help.
7 years younger.
I need
when
your
we started kids.
Oh wow!
Ah, okay.
So this idea of this kind of tween you know, where are the tweens going? Like, what's keeping them occupied? So when I saw on your list there were some activities and also places like Bounce, I was like, okay, Kareem's got my back. But let's start with a slightly younger age group, the Al-Barari Playground. We've been there in the cooler months. It was fantastic. What's happening right now at the Al-Barari Playground? Because it's the splash theme.
So one thing that the Al-Barari has always done really well are events such as during Halloween or the winter break. It's such a beautiful outdoor location. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to include something outdoor. The weather is a little bit, slightly hot, shall we say. And so we tried to choose a place that had water, had a lot of shade and green trees. And just by its location, Barari has a little bit more of a breeze, so it's slightly cooler. If you go there outside of the midday, it's actually reasonable. And your kids will love it in the water. But just take care to, you know, make sure that they're hydrated and they stay in the shade as much as possible.
Slip, slop, as the Aussies say. Yeah, cover up and get the sun cream on. My daughter got sunburnt for the first time a few weeks ago. And it was her own fault because I put cream on her. She told me she'd put cream on about an hour later. She's 9. She lied and then had a face like flapjack the next day. So she's like, she's well and truly learned her lesson. But actually, what's happening?
I'm not sure about that, Helen. Your daughter is now 9. So now it starts where the lessons have to keep repeating.
Well, she's already talking about skincare. I'm like, oh God, skincare, you're 9. No. But the good thing about the splash party is actually a bit later in the day as well, isn't it? It's not starting till about 3. So what's happening at Al-Barari? Because it's on today and tomorrow, I think. Is that right?
Exactly. And they have the foam disco water games that are organized. They have messy play over there. There's the African drums. I don't know if you've ever done it. It's a lot of fun playing it and listening to it. The usual splash pad, the beach. They have tree houses going on. And they have a zip line as well that the younger kids can enjoy.
That sounds amazing. Okay, so this is today, tomorrow, from 3 p.m. until 9 p.m., little ones, 99 dirhams, and then 119 up to the teenagers as well. So African drums, I've just had a look at the website, foam party, not the kind of foam parties I was going to 20 years ago, let me tell you. Tree houses, the mini beach, the splash pad, so a fantastic one. Is it on the app as well, Kareem?
Absolutely. On Kids App, it's very important to check because each activity has different start times. Okay. So if you want to catch all of them, you can choose or one specific one. A lot of them repeat. We also talk a little bit about the ages for each activity so that when the kids go, they won't be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, the app is Kids App. That's KIDZAPP.
Yes. You got yes. it. Now, I've seen your list, so I feel like it's always good to get a bit of a heads up. Eid al-Adha activities at Times Square, which are going through until the 23rd. We've got Dubai's hardest working man, apart from Chris McCarty, Magic Phil, who's doing a special show over the weekend as well. And have you done the woodworking activities upstairs at Times Square Mall yet, Kareem, with your kids? Have you been for a bit of a nosy? Because it's absolutely awesome.
Actually, I've been there myself. I've never actually done them. I've always wanted to learn that stuff.
It's really cool.
But somehow I never have time. Yeah.
Well, they had a free one a while ago. So we went, but my daughter's made a key ring using the jigsaw and it was really, really cool. So there's activities going on there as well. What else is happening at Times Square over the long weekend, Kareem?
So there's the whole fair. And to be honest, Times Square in general has become a mall. Like I used to go there a lot years ago and then I stopped and I've been started going again recently. There's a lot of kids activities going on there. There's obviously the Adventure Zone. There's the new Roboland, which is in a soft opening phase. There's a lot of stores, you know, targeted towards gaming and kids and everything. So it's a good place in general. It's more of a family friendly place and you can enjoy the workshops and also the Magical Phil shows starting from noon until 7 p.m. going from the 15th to the 23rd. Magic Phil will be there the last 2 days.
Okay, so today, tomorrow.
The 21st to 23rd, yeah.
I just saw on his Instagram today, he's doing a big giveaway to win, I think, 2,000 dirhams to spend at Times Square Mall. So head over to Magic Phil's account. He'll be posting the times of that. And as I said, it looks like a really good giveaway too. So that is free entry, Times Square, from noon until 7. Now, one of the videos that's got the most views ever on my Instagram is I basically shared a video of me going down a slide that was an escalator turned into a slide, which Mercato do every single summer. My husband went to Mercato over the weekend and he was like, H, the slide is back. So I think the slide might be back in the next few weeks. It's so cool to turn an escalator into a slide with a ball pit at the bottom. I love Mercato. Karim, what's happening there over Eid?
I mean, Mercato, they always do great events at Eid's, winter, everything. This time they have a Circus of Wonder. More info on that on Kids App. There's a magic comedy show. I think we all know about the magic comedy shows that we have in Dubai. We have a bubble show. There's face paintings, arts and crafts. There's a roaming parade. And there's a ton of interactive games. Some of them are free and some of them are paid. But for sure, your kids will be able to enjoy hours over there while you shop. This is going on until June 19th, which is after tomorrow, from 4 till 9 p.m.
Cool. So, and it's free entry. So
free entry, exactly.
Free parking as well, I should just say, now that some malls are starting to charge for their parking. Looking at you, Dubai Mall. So, by the way, first 4 hours are free. I just saw the numbers today. For deals, love a deal. The chance to go to, I mean, Dubai Parks and Resorts, my kids are obsessed with it. And now you've got Real Madrid World in there as well. And they're offering, well, you've got actually a really good deal on this. So two theme parks for under 300 dirhams. How long is this offer on for? Is this just an Eid thing, Karim, or is it going to be lasting through the summer as well?
So it's definitely going through Eid. And I will say, just stay tuned. We are aiming to keep it going through the summer, and that's what we'd like to do. In discussions now with DXB Entertainment. And, you know, when I always suggest, especially in summer, there's two things you've got to do with the two parks for the price of one. That's Legoland Water Park and Motion Gate. The reason I always choose those two is they're actually good for broad ages, especially if you have two or three kids. The water park is great during the hotter hours, and then you have lunch, and then you head over to Motion Gate, where there's a lot of the park is indoors. So you can actually spend the whole day, even in the summer, and enjoy yourselves. And then there's also the option, if you've not done that, or if you want to try, say, Motion Gate or the water park, and then the evening you can try out Real Madrid World. Some of that park is outdoors, or a lot of it is outdoors, but it's brand new. There's a lot of rides. There's a lot of different sections. And of course, if you're a football fan, you'll love it. And if you're not, there's a whole section you feel like you're actually in Spain, in Madrid, walking down the Champions Street.
Sold. Exactly. You're a pro. All right. So two theme parks for 295 dirhams. It's on now, but Kareem's working his magic on getting that deal for a little bit longer. I had a message from a friend this morning saying, what should I do with a one-year-old this weekend? And I was like, Chandan, my kids are 7 and 9. I have gleefully left the toddler years behind me. And then I saw your list and messaged him straight away going, have you been to Orange Wheels yet? Because it's adorable. My kids, when they were a couple of, you know, a few years younger, loved it. And it's just absolutely fantastic. So it is really a bit of a one-stop shop for play, and especially for those little ones. I know we say up to 8, but I think it's probably more like your 1 to 5s. Where are they, and any deals to be had on Kids App, Karim?
So we've actually got an exclusive deal at Orange Wheels. You can find them at Circle Mall, Nakheel Mall on the Palm, and Town Center Jumeirah. As you mentioned, they're really an up-and-coming play area. They're all pretty big. They're very modern, clean, so many different activities. And you can start 2 hours starting from 39 dirhams.
So it's actually really good price.
Yeah.
That's very
good. This is an exclusive offer that we have at the moment.
It's if anyone hasn't been, they do. I've only been to the one in Jumeirah, but they have kind of lots of little shops and role play areas and lovely little slides, and it all feels very kind of undulating, as you say, really clean and modern. The staff are fantastic, so really, really good deal there at Orange Wheels.
One of the nice things, Helen, really, is the staff are always on the ball there.
Yeah, they're really
very
good.
Involved with the kids. Yeah,
really, really good. And there's a coffee shop, which never hurts, I don't think. We were talking earlier about my kind of tween dilemma. And Bounce, I think, is just tends to tick all of the boxes there. If you can just tell us quickly the deal, but then we'll see, we can round up a couple of summer camps before I let you get back to your Sydney staking. So what's happening at Bounce?
We've got an awesome deal at Bounce, 20 to 25% off, depending on which Bounce you go to. There's a new one also in Sharjah that just opened for those who are listening in from Sharjah. The Dubai Al Quds one has been recently renovated. Mm-hmm. You know, so the famous one that first opened is actually completely different now, a lot more parkoury, a lot more interesting. So I recommend you try that out if you haven't been there for years. And then, of course, there's the Bounce X in Festival City, which is a favorite of mine as well. So those are really good for older kids, as you suggested, and also younger kids starting from 3 years and up. We charge 30, 65 dirhams an hour and not if you buy through KidsUp.
Done. Right. Bounce. Let's think about the... I can't think about summer yet. I can't think about the summer camps. But what I find is there's like a flurry of messages around that first weekend of July and or on Facebook groups saying, have you booked camps? This camp sold out. Any recommendations for camps? So now is the time to be booking them. We've only got 5 minutes left. I'm probably going to ditch the song. Sorry to our singers of the hour. Let's start with sports because... it can be very beneficial to have some nice tired children when we get home from work. Multi-sport summer camp. You've got one from Elite. What do we need to know?
So look, Elite is great. They focus on teamwork. And this is something I love. And you were talking about older kids. This goes from 4 to 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we all obviously really care about a lot. And it's nicer in summer where they can meet new friends. They can learn about teamwork and the right approach and attitude to everything. Setting goals and objectives. There's competitions. They've got action sports. They have an adventure day. They have different, even American sports and everything. You'll get to participate with really experienced coaches. Elite is one of the best academies around. And they have many, like there are so many branches that if you really want to find them, look through KidsUp. I can't list them all. Mm-hmm. Throughout Dubai and Abu Dhabi as well. When you book through KidsUp, it's 10% off, 236 dirhams a day or 850 for the whole week. And really, they have some of the highest quality activities there and coaches.
I think it's just a really nice opportunity for kids to try sports that they might not have access to through school, or you don't want to commit to, say, trying a sport for a term. You know, do you want to think, oh, I'm not going to pay out for 8 weeks of a sport that they might hate. So this way, and when we've done it in the past, they've come home like, oh, I've never done, you know, badminton before or tennis or, you know, basketball. So I think it's just a really great way for, you know, kind of expose them to different sports and maybe help them find theirs.
And, you know, you can do that at any age. I mean, my kids are totally. Teenagers, and even now they're discovering, actually now is when they discover for themselves. So I think you put them in a camp like this, they'll come back and tell you, this is my sport, you know?
That's really cool. So 6 different sports and activities every day with some great coaches at Elite, and you can save through KidsUp as well. Staying indoors, and as I said, we've had seen some great new places opening in the last year or so. Glitch, I would absolutely put on that list. We had a fantastic morning there when it opened. It's in Al Ghurair Centre, and it's like, I couldn't believe my eyes. It was just like lights and slides, and my kids went climbing, and it was brilliant. So what about Glitch? They're doing camp as well, I believe.
Yeah, they're also doing a camp. It's starting from, and we have a really great deal on them as well. It's 272 dirhams for the whole week. Valid right through. If you buy now, you get that deal right through to June 23rd. So you can book for most of the summer at that price. It's for 4 to 12 years old. And the nice thing is if you're a parent and you enjoy a game of bowling or arcade games, you also get a discounted price while your kid is at that camp, so you can spend some time with your friends there. If
Love
you
it.
Want to be around your kids, which, I mean...
Or you just go shopping.
I know I started KidsUp and everything, but after 14 years, I think I would look for a completely different venue for myself.
Oh, we've only got 2 minutes left. So let's give a shout out to Woohoo.
And one thing before we jump to Woohoo, Helen, I've been going around Sydney and I've been looking for kids activities here. And I'll tell you something, I wish they had a kids app here. So I'm going to overwhelm you with your viewers. Anyone who has some good advice for 14 and 12 year olds as a family, what we can do in Australia, please send them to Helen Farmer.
4001. I'll forward them to Kareem. Let's help him out in his holidays. So those early teen years in Sydney, what should Kareem and the family be doing? Woohoo Summer Camp. It's a great indoor space. It's just there in Alcoz. My kids love that cave room where you dig up bones and you have to like climb around. What's happening in their camp and who do you think it's for?
Yeah. So first of all, we've spoken about the sporty camps and we've spoken about the gaming electronic-y camp, which is the Glitch one. We spoke about Elite Sports. This one is more of the artsy and the intellectual one and the thoughtful one. They have indoor adventures, training games, science workshops, and interactive art. So if you feel like, you know, or if you can mix up the three camps if you want. If you want to spend a few weeks on the more crafty and the intellectual type, that's Woohoo for you. It's a lot of fun. The kids love it. So they find, I mean, it's what you would call edutainment, right? Mm-hmm. So they can learn a lot while they're enjoying themselves and entertaining. We've had so much good feedback as well about Woohoo recently. It's just amazing, like, how well-known that place has become. It's for kids from ages 4 to 9, and you have 10% off if you book through KidsUp. starts at 891 for 1 week, and you can purchase up to 8 weeks, obviously discounted the more weeks you buy.
8 weeks? Just set up a camp, put a tent up in the car park, let them live there. Why not? Kareem, thank you so much for your time, especially during your own holiday. Really do appreciate it. We'll no doubt have another catch up during the summer months, and we'll speak to you very soon indeed. Even back to you and yours. Have a lovely time with the family. Kareem from Kids App. I should just say, while we're talking about activities, actually, I went took the kids to Olly Olly yesterday. They've got a great Eid installation. I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you will have done on Instagram. I'm going to have to Google his name. An artist called Luke, I want to say Luke Jabbar. One of his installations is in Olly Olly, Luke Jaram, apologies. It's basically NASA imagery. It's like a mini moon that's been set up there. And they've got great facts. You get on the scales, it tells you how much you weigh on the moon. They've got sand art. They've got the Wonderscape pop-up space next door. So lots of like light art as well. So loads happening at Olly Olly over Eid and beyond too. And thank you for downloading this episode of the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe. You'll get direct to your phone as soon as it's out. And you can listen to me live on Dubai Eye 103.8, Monday to Friday between 2 and 5 p.m.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.